Hi, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast. This is your host, Imnaris. The Basic Latina Podcast is an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. So today, I have a special guest on the show. I have my friend, Mike. Mike and I go back like snapbacks. Okay. Mike and I used to work at Bowtie on New Park when we were... after high school.
I was 19.
Oh, maybe I was 19 too. Yeah, I don't remember.
I was like 19.
I think I was in college. So yeah, I was definitely 19. So when I thought about doing this podcast, he's one of the first people I wanted to interview because Mike and I have an interesting history that we're like friends, but it took up until like this year for us to actually be like legit friends because mm-hmm. we were co-workers and he never really got to know each other until much later on. And he shared with me kind of his story. He's definitely has a lot of layers. And one of them has to do with his health and kind of being like a cancer survivor. And so I'm going to let you take it away, Mike, and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Mike Gonzalez. I am 27. I was diagnosed with stage 2 testicular cancer about a week and a half before Memorial Day. It was a rough year.
You know, and thank you so much for at least, you know, being open enough to talk about it. What year was it when you found out that you had a testicular cancer?
2016 May.
Oh wow, so we are in November 2017, so it's been over a year now.
Over a year.
Okay, so you found out May. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about leading up to when you were diagnosed? Like, did you have symptoms? Did you just have a regular visit?
Symptoms. I had quite a few. I was always, like, constantly sick. I had a small growth on my right testicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird saying that out loud.
It's okay. Nobody can see you.
Yeah.
So how long were you feeling sick until you felt like you needed to go into the hospital?
I was sick for quite a while. I was always getting sick was my problem. I was like constantly getting sick.
Because isn't having cancer or having something related in that kind of realm, it's going to attack your immune system, so yes. You're, like, sicker more often?
Absolutely.
So if this was in May, would you say that all of spring of 2016 you were sick?
I was sick for a good, like...
Most of 2016?
Almost a year before that, actually. And I never got it checked out.
But sick as in, how would you describe it? Like, vomiting, headaches, like, regular, like, flu-like symptoms?
Yes, absolutely. Vomiting was, like... Number one, it happened a lot. I thought it was like my diet, so I changed up my diet. Mm-hmm. I stopped eating like meat. I thought that, you know, like every time I ate like chicken or beef or something like that, like I thought I would get sick.
Yeah, you thought probably like, oh, well, I'm eating meat, so I'm having like some kind of digestive issue or something like that.
Because I had a friend who was a nurse, and she's like, oh, maybe it's like, you know, gastrointestinal, you should probably get it checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I constantly put it off. Did you go to the doctor yet? No, I'm gonna handle it later. So one of my biggest things is definitely if you see something wrong, get it checked out as soon as possible. Don't hold off until the last minute.
Because your symptoms were not severe enough where you felt like, oh, I should probably, like, they were so low key that you didn't do anything about it. Would you say that that's accurate, or were they like extreme that you like went to the ER?
I just went and got it checked out. I just was sick of it. I wanted to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I thought it was going to be was like, you know, cancer or anything like that. So we did scans, multiple scans.
They found the growth, or did you find the growth?
I did.
You but did? Like,
yeah. And
it's and okay.
It was. I don't know how to explain it. I thought it was like maybe like a skin tag or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? No, let me go to the doctor. So there was a time where I also thought that, like, maybe I had something, like, as far as, like, sexually transmitted or...
Oh.
Yeah, that's really the reason
why. Were you
why.
Sexually active around this time?
Yeah. I thought that, like, my girlfriend at the time was cheating, and I'm like, oh, my God, what if I got something from her, you know? Like.
Oh, yeah.
So it was pretty huge. I went in... That's when I really got it checked out. It was like...
So you waited almost...
Almost a year.
Almost a year to get... Even though you were having flu-like symptoms for the whole year.
Yep.
And even though you thought you had an STD, which is so crazy. I'm going to have an episode
that was
where...
Like later when I thought.
Oh, yeah. But it's just so funny because... Do you go to the doctor regularly?
No. At the time, I didn't have insurance.
Oh, see, that's a whole nother element, too.
Yep.
Because when was the last time you actually got your, like, yearly visit?
Oh. I don't remember before that. I don't remember.
So like 2014, 2015?
Probably, yeah.
And you didn't have insurance because of your job?
Because of my job at the time, yeah.
Okay.
I was like part-time and stuff like that. And like, I don't know. I thought I was fairly healthy. So I was like, oh, forget insurance. I'm never going to go to the doctors. It's fine.
Right. Because you eat healthy and you like work out and you're like, I'm fine. Which I feel like there's so much that our listeners can learn from today's episode just about, like, insurance and eating healthy and working out and taking care of your health. But I wanted to focus on what was your hesitation? Like, why did it take so long for you to go to the doctor? Was it, oh, I'm going to, like, you know... I'm going to go to the ER and it's going to cost a lot of money, or I don't have a primary care physician, or I'm scared of what it might be, or...
All the above, really. All the above. Every time, you know, I have like a history, like family history of like just horrible things going wrong. So
really?
I was like, I don't want to know. If it happens, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
So did you have a family history of testicular cancer or any kind of cancer in
my grandfather? Actually had testicular cancer.
But you didn't find this out until later on, I'm sure. Or you knew this already?
I knew.
Oh, you knew?
Yeah. It was something I grew up with as a kid. You know, my grandfather going through treatment and stuff. And he was further along. So his treatment was hell. I mean, any treatment is.
Well, make sure... I definitely want to make sure just that we are being sensitive. So at any point, if you need to take a break, let me know. Okay, so you, at this point, you're sexually active, you're with a partner, you're sick, and you're consulting with people, but it doesn't seem like it's anything too serious. There's no insurance, and there's all these fears. What brings you finally to the hospital? Is being sick of being sick?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you actively sick at the time, or were you better when you
actively
went?
Sick. I actually passed out. Yeah.
Did you lose any weight during that year?
I lost a lot of weight. Actually, I can go back to my Instagram videos and I'm, you know, working out and stuff like that. And I thought it was all due to me working out and like running every day. And it was drastic weight gain though.
Yeah.
Like sick weight gain. And I had no idea.
Yeah. So then when you actually went, did you have anybody go with you?
Yeah. I had a good friend of mine from high school go with me.
Mm-hmm.
That was undergoing the same thing at the time, which I didn't know that she had cancer at the time.
Your friend that was with you had cancer?
She had cancer.
And she didn't tell you at that time?
She did not tell me at the time.
Wow.
No. Yep.
Do you think that she had an inkling that you might have it based on what you told her and your symptoms?
I don't think so. I think it was just there for like support. Like I was scared to go to the doctor. Like she was just there more for support than anything else. I don't think she suspected anything or...
I'm just so fascinated because I feel like, you know, people do walks and runs for cancer. And first of all, I don't know anybody that has testicular cancer. And I don't know anybody who's in the movement for testicular cancer. Wow. And like, you know, wanting to, because it's not taboo. I feel like that's not the right word. It's almost shameful.
To the person that it's happening to, it's
right.
Kind of like, I don't really want to talk about this.
Right. And not to make it like, you know, not to make it laughable, but I think when you told me, I was like, you got ball cancer? Like, yeah. I was so like confused.
Everyone's taken back. They're like, you have ball cancer? Like, that's the first thing that comes up. Like, the first question is, do you have one? Do you have none? Like, do you have both? I'm like, I have both. Yeah.
Which, I mean, is,
it could have gotten removed.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I think we have to be get better at responding to people when they tell us that, oh, I had cancer. Because with breast cancer, you're just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Or, yeah, like with brain cancer or anything else. No, right, right. Then people are looking at you and they're imagining you with one ball. And that's right. Awkward.
Right. You just feel like people are just undressing you with their eyes at the moment.
Right, it's right.
So, terrible.
So at this point, when you go to the doctor, you think, oh my God, I have some kind of growth. It could be the big C or STD.
I was leaning more towards the STD at the time. Yeah.
Did you Google? Because you know WebMD would have told you if you got cancer.
WebMD told me everything. Like,
you're going to die?
Don't WebMD.
Don't WebMD.
Please don't WebMD. Just go to a doctor. Don't WebMD. Like, it'll scare you enough to not go to a doctor because they're like, oh, we have to cut this off. We got to, you know, this will lead to an amputated foot. Like, just so many different things, you know? Because me, I'm just like, they say, you know, oh, you have this. And you're like, oh, I think I have that. Or, you know, you think you have this or think you have that. Like,
mm-hmm. So then how was it or what happened when you finally found out? Like, how was that experience?
What am I going to tell my mom? Was the biggest thing. Like, my mom's huge. Like, a worry wart. Like, it's so bad. She's, you know, 5 foot tall Hispanic woman. Very emotional.
Did you know that day when you walked out of the doctor's office that you had it?
No.
Or there were tests and stuff?
There was tests. There was a lot of follow-up that had to go through with that. A lot of scans. Blood work, everything.
How long did it take for you to get diagnosed?
About a week.
Okay.
With everything together, like, mm-hmm. Okay, this is exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to drop, like, this whole care plan. This is what we're going to do. Boom, boom, boom. We want to do this often, this frequently.
What were you officially diagnosed with?
Stage 2 testicular cancer.
Stage 2?
Stage 2.
And what does that mean? Does stage 3 mean death?
No.
Okay.
What's crazy is it's, like, really highly treatable. Like, really highly treatable.
Oh, okay, good.
It's very, very, very treatable. With testicular cancer in general, like, with how far medicine has, you know, gone in the recent years,
mm-hmm.
There are barely any, like, incidents where people die if they catch it early enough. You know,
if it
doesn't spread or, you know, anything like that. So,
what were some of the things that you were wondering? Were you thinking about, like, fuck, what did I go wrong? Like, did anything kind of...
My diet...
That was the first...
huge. Yeah, because I ate horribly.
You ate horribly? You did?
For a while, yeah. It was just all, like, pizza. Like, when you're single and, like... You know, like, you're just eating pizza. You don't really care, you know, to cook for anybody else or anything like that, so.
Okay, so diet could definitely be one, but what about what was going on with you in your personal life? Do you feel like stress contributed?
Stress. A lot of stress. A lot of unnecessary stress.
Mm-hmm.
Just all the time.
Because, I mean, I feel like everyone would love to know, I mean, scientists, I'm sure, would love to know what is it that causes cancer,
can contribute to it.
Yeah. And yeah. So did you get any was that something you were curious about, and did you get any answers to it?
Yeah. Well, genetics as well,
because your grandfather,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So genetics, cancer just runs in the family. It's super bad.
Who else has cancer in your family?
My aunt actually had cancer. She died while back.
So, at this point, you have it. Now, I remember, and I can openly say on this podcast, that I was a very bad friend to Mike, because I'm just like, I'm seeing him, and I was so confused, because when you told me you had cancer, I had that strong reaction in my like, kitchen, like, not too long ago. But I saw these things, you, like, told me on Snapchat, but I was so confused. I'm like, no, he's joking. Like, I had no... That is not a way to tell somebody that you have cancer.
Yeah.
That's inappropriate.
Kind of.
I was just so confused. Like, I saw... We followed each other on social media.
We had, like, the social media following. And we also, like... We talked intermittently, like, once in a while on the phone about, like, other, you know, things that were going on at the time.
Yes. And that's what I didn't understand. So you were going through stuff. It, like, almost overlapped. And that's what I was so confused about, because you were going through stuff.
I was hit with everything all at once.
In 2016.
2016 was just not a good year.
And that's where, and I can honestly say, looking back, because you know how you're like always have clarity after the situation. Mm-hmm. You were reaching out to me, but I could not be there for you because my dad was sick and was dying. So it was like one of those things where, like, I wanted to be there for you, but since you and I had never established, and we were talking about this before we started this recording, since you and I had never established, like, a friendship, like, oh, you my nigga, like, I got you. Like, it was it was weird that you, I knew you wanted to talk to me. You know,
there were, like, a select few people that I actually reached out to. Mm-hmm. I never went, like, public with it, like, in a broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, let me put this on, you know, let me post up ribbons, a picture of a, you know, cancer ribbon on Instagram or, you know, something like that. Like, very select few people knew, close family, close friends, like...
And it was definitely hard. And I want us to talk about how is it that you can be supportive towards people who have cancer, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to be your friend. You reached out to me about this other situation in your personal life. Right. And I was like, okay, I can be there for you for that, because that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then you were telling me about cancer, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, my dad is sick with, like, ALS, like, and he's dying. Like, I don't have time to, like, worry about you. Like, I became very selfish, and I wasn't there for you. And I remember we, like, didn't... 2016, we, like, talked a little bit, and you were constantly reaching out to me, and I just wasn't there for you because I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, I got deaded a couple times, and I was like, well, you know what? That's cool.
That's,
like,
not funny. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh.
It's whatever. It's what it is.
But that's where I was, and I think we could all learn, you know, hopefully from today about what we can do to do better. But then on top of that, you were putting stuff on, like, social media about... your cancer. And that's when I feel like I realized it was real. And then you were telling me stuff about your treatment. I was just always confused. Like, I never questioned. I was just like, wait, what? Like, it was very odd for me. So what I did to you, basically, like, deading you or, like, not reaching out to you or not answering your phone calls, is that what a lot of people did?
Not really. I mean, there were the friends that were there, you know, like, they were there.
Yeah.
You know, I could pick up the phone. One of my friends, actually, on Memorial Day, right before I found out, he was actually going on vacation. And, like, I had taken, like, a whole week off. I'm like, this is too much.
Yeah.
I can't do this. Mm-hmm. So I took a week off. He actually brought me to Wildwood, New Jersey for Memorial Day weekend. And I'm not going to lie, I partied because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to react.
And at this point, were you single or were you still going through what you were going through?
I was going through what I was going through. Okay. I was single, yeah.
Oh, you were single, okay. Yeah. So that was active, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So then, do you feel like you had people that you could talk to during this time? You had your mom.
I felt like I could talk to my friends more than I could my family. Mm-hmm. Because my family is just like, you know... oh, you know, like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do, or...
the same reaction that I had, that they're like, I don't know what to say to you.
Well, no, it's more like, they're like, oh, bendito, like, you know, I don't like that. You know, I don't like that kind of attention. I'd rather be like, yo, you know what, I just found out I have this. Let me go do something, you know, to get my mind off of that. That's why I reached out to my friends more than I did to my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I didn't want to, you know, constantly... I don't even know how to explain it.
I think that in the Hispanic culture, we're so bad when it comes to, like, health, mental health, physical health.
Yeah.
When somebody has cancer or, like, it seems like somebody always has cancer or diabetes or something. So when it hits, like, someone in our family has had some kind of, like, issue and stuff like that, we don't know how to handle it because we think we're going to say the wrong thing. And then when somebody close to us, or maybe someone young, because you were 26 when you found out, you know, was there anything that were the things that people said to you throughout the year that helped you? or, you know, what is something that you wish that we could have said that would have helped you? Now that you're cancer-free and you're out of the situation, is there things that you'd be like, man, like, y'all need to do better. Y'all could have helped me out by saying this to me.
I really don't have any complaints as far as, like, you know, my friends go. I mean, with you, you had your own situation going on, you know.
Which you did not know about.
I had no idea. Yeah. That's the thing. What I realized in that time was everyone's going through something at some time or another. And, like, not everything can revolve around, you know, you or, you know, just because I'm sick. You know, it doesn't mean that person's not going through something or this person doesn't have their own thing going on.
That's,
you know,
tough. Because it's like our friends are supposed to, and then it goes back to kind of friendship. It's just like, you didn't know that what was going on with me because I didn't want to be, even though I was a shitty friend at the time, I didn't want to be selfish and be like, A, I'm a shitty friend. B, I don't have time for you because I have my own shit going on. Because if that was the case, Mike, we would never call people. Somebody always got something going on. Like, and so we have to kind of, I don't know, get in a situation where we are, like, giving room for people to, like, vent to us. And also being, like, thoughtful and telling them, like, hey, I want to be here for you. But I got this going on, too. So can we also, we could talk about you, but I need to talk, too.
I felt like a lot that helped me out was, like, talking other people through their stuff. Like, I've always been, like, a mediator.
You were really good at that.
Throughout all of my life. So having people, you know, come to me with their stuff, they're like, you know, oh, but I feel bad, your life is so much more shitty than mine.
I'm right, like, and you're like, get my mind off of this.
Yeah, just like, get my mind off of it. Like, let me help you with your stuff. Like, I was very involved in, like, other people's, you know, like, lives and helping other people out, you know.
Man.
So, but I stayed active. Things that got me through it was like,
oh yeah, tell me about things.
I wasn't in bed all the time. My mom was like, oh, just lay down. Like, no, I kept active. I still, like, I ran for as long as I could.
You went hiking a lot, didn't you?
I went hiking a lot. Mm-hmm.
You ran?
I ran up until, like, the point where, like, I was going through treatment and I actually felt the treatment.
Because I know you. That's when you were struggling the most.
Yeah, like, sometimes, like, I throw up, like, you know, 3-4 times in an hour. Sometimes I'd, you know, throw up maybe 5 times a day. Like, it all depended, you know.
Was it rigorous?
Yeah. I would have, like, burst blood vessels, like, all throughout my face. Because it was so bad to the point where, like, I was dry heaving. I wasn't even throwing up because I had thrown everything I had up already.
By the way, guys, Mike is looking so healthy and looking like such a snack right now.
Oh, thank you. Takes one to know one.
So he's doing much better. Yeah. But I remember, I recall that you were really skinny when you would post up on Snapchat. So did you post things because to build awareness, or was it kind of just like, I feel shitty, like, you know, I don't know.
No. I mean,
oh, was there no ill intention around it?
There was no ill intention at all. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Before I'd gotten, you know, into treatment and stuff like that, I was pretty big. I was like, I'm not very tall, but like, I was about 220. And that was like my heaviest weight ever.
Oh my god, and you're so small.
I'm like 5'8", my average.
I mean,
thanks.
That's a lot for someone that height.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm kind of like wider set anyway. That's true. So.
Wow. So you went through the vigorous treatment. So you tried to exercise and stay active. What about your diet? What was your diet?
My
like?
Diet? Oh.
Did they put you on a diet, or did you put yourself on a diet?
They recommended, but I definitely put myself, like, on a more strict diet. Like,
that's good.
Just anything that, like, my body couldn't break down, like, as easy. Like, I cut out beef. I completely cut out beef.
Do you eat beef now?
Once in a while.
Okay.
It depends. Let's see. I still had room for pizza, even though, like, what's crazy? I love pizza. You know, I couldn't take that out. You know, just throw some vegetables on it.
Why right. So, pizza you had, they took out beef. Did they say anything about, like, dairy? Because I feel like that's, like, a new thing. Everybody's trying to cut out dairy and meat and stuff.
No. Not really.
Did they tell you to stay away from anything? Is there anything we should stay away from?
I just say stay away from, like, any foods that don't break down as easy. Like, beef is, like, number one.
Yeah.
Like that.
At the time, were you... I know you were still going through your stuff in your other, like, in your love life, I should say. So, would you... At this time, were you working?
I was working part-time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you changed jobs, didn't you?
Yes, I changed jobs. Okay, actually, that's what I thought. I quit my job to go back to school, and now I'm... full-time with phlebotomy.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's what I thought. So at the time, you were dealing with being sick, treatment. When you felt good, you would try to be, like, quote-unquote normal, right?
I tried to live as normal life as I could. I would constantly, like, you know, be out. But there were days where, like, I'd wake up dreading just being alive, pretty much. You know, it's sad to say, but,
I'm not sucking my teeth. I'm just like, oh, like, I'm sorry, but were you ever, like, suicidal?
No. Okay. Absolutely not. I had a huge, like, I had my daughter to think about, so there was, like, no time for that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure, like, had things been different, like, my mind would have been completely elsewhere. So I think being, like, a parent and everything like that was, like, number one over everything else and being there for my kid. So trying to stay active, not being in bed, like... trying to stay, like, as healthy as possible, even going through treatment. It was hard, but...
It was hard.
Yeah.
What about the, when did you... Well, no, were you, like, dating at... Not dating, but were you... When you met... If you met girls at that time, would you tell them what you were going through?
No.
No?
Not at first, no.
Oh.
No.
But eventually you would?
I didn't really, like... I never really kept... people around long enough to know that. I kind of distanced myself. I distanced myself from a lot of people that, like, I didn't want knowing anything about. Because there are people who, you know, like, would give you this whole pity party, and I'm not about that.
Right.
That's why I stayed active. I always, you know, tried to live as normal as I could, you know.
Well, while you were talking, I was looking up some statistics for testicular cancer. Ooh. And it says that the medium age of diagnosis is 33. It's actually really young.
Yeah.
And testicular cancer has a 50% chance you'll get it from 20 to 34.
Yep.
That's nuts. I had no idea that you would be so, like, you would be so high young.
Of a statistic, yeah.
And then in terms of race breakdown, the highest race that usually gets it is white. But the second highest is non-Hispanic. And then American Indian, and then Hispanic. So you're number, like, four.
Yeah.
No, two, three. Whatever, your top five.
Top five. We'll leave it there.
Oh, my God. That's so nuts to me. You know, and I'm, like, morbidly curious just because when my dad was diagnosed with ALS, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, he stopped drinking. He stopped smoking. He changed his life around. He's eating healthy. Like, why would he get ALS? Like, nobody has it in our family. You know, usually white males in their 60s get it. So yeah. I looked it up because I was curious about your statistics. But your statistics are, like, kind of spot on.
Yeah.
Did you ever, like, did the hospital ever recommend, like, support groups or anything like that?
I wasn't around for it. I never wanted to sit around, you know, like, sit around a room where everyone's talking about, you know.
Hi, my name is Mike. I only have one ball.
Yeah, like.
Oh.
I never wanted to be that person, you know. I'm big on, like, support, but, like, where it comes from, like,
internally.
Yeah,
like, with your
friends and, like, just that kind of circle, that bubble,
you know? Did you ever, like, because now you're cancer free, did you ever get to a point where you had no hope, you didn't think that you'd be cancer free, that there was, like, no light at the end of the tunnel?
I definitely had days where, like, just the pain was intense. Like, I can't even really describe the pain. I take, like, the flu, like, when your bones, you know, like, you feel
when your bones
ache. Mm-hmm. Imagine that times, like, 100. And, like, you don't even want to get up to go to the bathroom, but you have to, you know?
Right.
I had days where, like, I had to have a really close friend of mine, like, hold me up. Because I felt so, like, I was going to pass out to use the bathroom.
Wow.
It was bad.
But when those times came, you did feel like you had a friend or someone to be there. Did you ever feel, like, alone?
I had days. I felt more like that at night. Like, at night was, like, my biggest thing where, like, you know, people are going to bed and I'm still up because I feel like shit. And there's no one to talk to because nobody's, you know, texting back or, you know, or...
Oh, my God. This is just, like, a heavy episode. How are you feeling?
I'm good.
You good?
A little, like... Here and there, I get a little emotional thinking about, like,
certain times.
No.
Absolutely you can cry. Not. Real men cry,
but not this one.
Oh, my God. So, when did you, like, find out that... Did you know this whole time that you would be cancer-free? Or was it, like, touch and go?
Like, as far as, like, the doctors say, like, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, high percentage that it would turn around.
Oh, okay. So, they told you, like... You have it, but it can be treated.
There's never any guarantees with medicine. Right. Never any guarantees. Absolutely. They could tell you, like, hey, this is what we can, you know, see as far as, you know, like, your tests go and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, towards the end of it, when things were winding down, like, the support was, like, crazy, you know. As soon as I found out I was cancer-free, like, a couple friends of mine bought a cake. From
when did you find out you were cancer free?
January.
And fucking owe you a cake and everything.
No, my friends like bought me a cake. It was hilarious though. Like the whole joke. The whole
did they
time,
have balls on the cake?
They had balls on the cake. They had rum
disrespectful
balls, rum balls.
Oh,
and they wrote on the cake. Got balls.
Oh
yeah, and I was like, I'm not eating those. Like no,
like
thanks.
There's no way I'm eating that.
No.
How is it that you were able to change jobs during this whole process?
What do you mean change jobs?
Because you changed your job, didn't you?
Yeah. I quit my full-time job because I couldn't do it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting another job that I worked like maybe a weekend or two here and there, like serving. But even that was kind of like, there were days where like I couldn't.
But the phlebotomy job, when did you get that?
I recently got that this year.
Oh, okay, this year. So it was after you were cancer-free.
Yes, after, yeah.
Now, how's your health insurance now?
Good.
Is it popping?
Yeah, it's pretty popping. I mean, it's not free healthcare, but...
It's not...
No.
I don't think we're going to get that.
We're not Canada.
Let's just move to Canada. So, Mike, you said that you never attended any support groups. So you still don't know anybody else who's got the testicular cancer?
Nope.
Really?
I know.
Is that like a conversation starter with the ladies?
Absolutely not. That's what, actually, you know, like I go on dates, that's the first thing I bring up. It's like, hey, no, I don't.
Oh, I was about to say, oh my God,
no,
please
sarcasm,
tell me.
Complete sarcasm.
Okay, good,
sorry.
Good. I did not get that. I was like,
no, absolutely not. I don't bring that up.
At all?
No, not really.
Even when you're getting intimate? It doesn't come
not
up?
Not anymore, no.
Oh, not anymore. Okay.
Not anymore. I mean, at the time, I was so self-conscious to even do anything. It was bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still, like, here and there, but, like, meh.
I mean, everything
works.
Everything
curious,
works.
Everything works.
Everything works. And Mike is single. Hopefully when this airs. I mean, not hopefully he's single when this airs, but he's single right now.
Single for life.
Forever single for
alone.
Life.
I'm gonna be the cat man.
And his parts work. Okay. So, how do you feel now? Like, what are kind of some of the lessons you've learned now that you're like cancer free? You got a new job. You got health insurance that's good.
Don't
I know you're...
take anything for granted. Like, just anything. Like, getting up out of bed is a blessing. You know, like
that's for sure.
Those days where I couldn't, you know. I didn't even want to walk like that. It's just,
being able to walk and run and you say, I'm going to go to the gym, like going to the gym and being, having the energy and not being in any pain.
Right.
Oh, I didn't even ask you, are you in any pain at all?
Not at the moment. No.
And it's not going to come back.
I keep, you know, with my doctor, but.
Oh, like, you stay with
constant,
your doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, anything ever happens or I get really sick, I'm right away, like, make an appointment.
And you can still have babies? Sore subject, I'm sorry.
I have no idea, to be honest.
You haven't tried?
No, absolutely not, no. One and done.
Okay, nope. I know you want to only have one, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, just one and done.
So the lessons you learned so far afterwards is don't take life for granted. Don't take like waking up in the morning, being able to walk and stuff like that. What about your health? Because this is kind of like a wellness podcast.
If you feel something's not right, get it checked out. Like, it could be anything. Like, you know your body more than anyone else, you know? So, just get it checked out. Make sure, you know, you can go online and you can see how you can check yourself for different types of cancer. Breast cancer, testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. There are certain ways to go about that.
That's interesting that you say that, because I wanted to ask you, because I don't know, because I'm not a guy, but women have to go to the gyno every year. Now it's changed, it's every other year or something, but we go to the gyno every year once you're sexually active, to get your birth control, to get your breast check, you do the, a pap smear. What about guys? What do you guys do? They don't, like, squeeze your balls and check your boobs or...
I've never had a doctor, like, not recently, but, like, before then, never. Yeah, like, me and my doctor were just like, hey, like, your ball's good? Yep. Okay.
He never... No. I was going to say, he never felt them, but you know what I mean.
No. If anybody were to come at my balls with their, like, you know, no thanks.
That's so interesting. Because I would think with the fact that testicular cancer, the median age is 32, 33. And you're in your 20s, I would think, just like they do with women with breast cancer, they tell you, like, there's free, I was talking about this with you or somebody else, that I'm just like, there's trucks that say, like, free mammogram. Like, there's nothing that says, like, free ball check. Like,
I mean, no.
That's so.
No free ball check. Like, that's just weird. You know, you go to see, you know, a truck that says free ball check. Like, you stay away from that truck.
And I know we're laughing about this, but it really is an issue that, like, men do not go to the doctor.
For anything. Like, it took me, like, to the point where, like, I was, passing out and, like, just not feeling okay to have me go to the doctor and, like, get things checked out. And
That's so sad. Because even if you don't feel a lump or you're passing out or you're sick or anything like that, like, Mike never thought, you know, in his mind that he would ever get cancer.
No.
So he never thought, like, oh, fuck it. I don't got life, you know, I don't got a health insurance. No big deal.
That's huge. Like, now it's huge and something to think about. It doesn't matter how young you are. Like, as soon as you can get health insurance or, you know, whether it's with your parents or, you know, on your own, get life insurance, or not life insurance, health insurance.
We should get life insurance.
Yes, too, as well.
Now, but so you aged out when you turned 26. Is that what the issue was? Was that you aged out when you turned 25 or 26? You were in your, when you were in your mom's insurance?
No. I wasn't on my mom's insurance. No.
You weren't?
No.
Oh, okay. So,
I was out of the house, not going to school, and I was never put onto my mom's or dad's insurance. It was always like, you work, you get your own insurance kind of thing.
Oh, so. I feel like that's a male Puerto Rican, like, thing. Yeah. Like, it's like, you go take care of yourself. Bye. Yeah. Yeah. Damn, that's fucked up.
No.
I mean, like, it's just like, they would never do that for the girl in the family. They would not do that for the female.
True. This is true.
That's what I'm saying is not fucking fair. I would never, I'm planning to have children, and I hope God blesses me with beautiful, healthy children. Mm. If my son... If he, whatever he goes through, he's going to be on my health insurance. Like, I'm trying to have a bomb-ass job, so my kids are set. Mm. I would never push them out, but I guess that's that machismo, like, kind of, like, you're a man. You could take care of yourself. You don't need...
Yeah.
You need to take care of your business. You got a family now.
Yep.
You decided to make babies. You take care of you and your baby.
Yeah. No, even before that. It's just like, soon as you graduate high school, it's like, all right, well, what are you going to do now?
Oh, you know, I feel like that's a whole different episode, but yes.
It's like that friend that won't leave, kind of like, hey, so what are you about to do? That's how your parents are. As soon as you turn 18, dads are like that. Moms, dads. A whole different story.
Yeah.
Moms will baby their boys. Like, my mom was like, no, rest, go, you know, when I was sick and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Go rest. No, mom, I got to do something. I'm going to go crazy in this house. I can't.
Mm-hmm. How was your dad when you were, you don't mention him.
My stepfather was pretty cool.
Okay, like, cool.
He helped me through it a lot. he was also one of those that, like, I didn't talk to about it. Because seeing my dad emotional, that's just not good. I don't want to see that. Oh,
your dad took it bad, too.
He cried. He cried.
It was his dad that had it, or your mom's? My
biological father.
Oh, biological father. Okay. Yeah. So, the stepdad cried.
Yes, my stepfather cried.
Oh, I thought you said your biological father died.
Cried.
Oh my God. Sorry. Oh my God. God bless him. Where you are. I hope you're good. Oh my God. Please, God, look over him.
Let's knock on wood for that one. There we go. That's so bad.
I am so sorry. So you want to make sure that people kind of get away from your story is that definitely go get yourself checked.
If you see something's wrong, get it taken care of. Mm-hmm. You know, like, check it out. Even if it's nothing. Because if it's nothing, that's the greatest news you could have.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Greatest news. You know?
I think also one thing that I heard from your story is what you said about thinking you had an STD from your partner. Like,
that's the biggest thing that had me check too.
Yeah, but like, it's like, did you have a conversation with her about that?
At the point, no.
Okay. Nope. And that's another thing. We weren't
talking at the time, okay. Wish.
Okay.
And good thing I didn't throw around any kind of like accusations. I kind of thought like, oh, maybe.
Right. Oh, because you didn't have the opportunity to talk to her about it because you guys weren't actively like together.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I would encourage that if you have like a partner, you know, make it. And I feel like I've been hearing this since I was like in high school. Like all the movies and all the TV shows are just like, ooh, go with your partner to go get tested. I've never actually had to do that. Oh. But why not? Like, I think it's much sexier and much more freeing and less anxiety provoking to want to see.
Yeah.
To want to be with someone and feel like, ooh. Like there's all these risk factors, and I'm not saying go crazy.
It's also a lot more intimate too, to know that you guys are doing this together, figuring these things out together. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a lot more responsible, and it's very respectable as well.
No, absolutely. And would you say now that you've continued to take care of yourself in terms of like working out and eating healthy, like that's something you want to continue doing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are you still?
I feel like it's more like a lifestyle now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have my cheat days, yeah. Like, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. Those aren't my cheat days. No, I just eat in moderation. I don't pig out or go crazy or anything like that.
Is there, you know, anything that you think that we could do better to be more supportive for people who might have, like, cancer and stuff?
Well, a lot of people that are going through tough times don't really reach out to people as well, you know? Like, I never reached out to like a whole mess of people, you know.
Mm-hmm. So would you recommend people reach out, or
like to the ones that you love and, you know, your friends that are close to you, you know, reach out, talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, because you never know. You know, there are people who like I've talked to like in the past couple years, like a couple times that I've like we've become really close.
Mm-hmm.
Through, you know, this stuff, because I knew that, you know, their family went through something similar, or, you know, something like that, you know.
That's good. Yeah. So I'm glad that it has brought you closer to some friends, at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you found out that your other friend had cancer, didn't you?
Yep.
Did she tell you afterwards?
Yeah.
And how is her health doing?
Good. Still here, still pain in the ass, but I love her to death.
That's good. And you're, now that you're seeing your regular doctor and things like that.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Like things are a lot more like under control, and like if anything were to happen, that I'd catch it early on.
Mm-hmm.
With going to a doctor, you know. Good. And I'm just happy that I hadn't waited like a little longer, you know, because things could have progressed. So.
And I really appreciate you kind of sharing your story with our listeners, because I know it's definitely not easy. It's one of those things that it's kind of like we can laugh at, and it's kind of embarrassing to admit, but it's one of those, like, if you knew Mike, you would, like, your you know, he would pull at your heartstrings because he's so sweet. So to hear that somebody like him got this, I was like, oh no, why? Because so, that's like the first question is like, why did you get this? But we might have that same reaction for an aunt or a mom who had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. How did you get this? And why did you get this? You know, mm-hmm. So I would say, just to summarize what Mike said, you know, make sure that you go get yourself tested. You know, if there's someone in your family that has some kind of gene, there's ways to go to your doctor. It might be expensive to get tested for any kind of cancers and things like that. I know a lot of friends who have pre-diabetes, and they have family members who are diabetic, but, you know, they're not taking their health seriously. I feel like your body talks to you. And how Mike just said, his body was talking to him for a year and he ignored it. Good thing that they caught it at stage 2. Imagine if he would have waited for longer, you know? And I'm happy that he's sitting here telling this story. But I hope that you guys learned something from us today. I'm going to ask you some rapid fire questions, but is there anything else that you want to share?
No.
Why did you look at me like that?
What?
Oh, you gave me a look like, what you mean by rapid
fire? I was like, what do you mean? Are you just gonna like...
Oh my gosh. So I say rapid fire,
okay,
but they're not fast at all. It's just okay. Questions that I ask. You can't look. It's questions that I ask all my guests.
Mm-hmm.
It's about self-care, so you're fine. Relax. So what are you listening to right now?
Like as far as music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it depends. I'm all over.
So on your way here to see me, what were you listening to?
I was listening to trap music, of course.
Who's a little bit of Cardi B or
no?
No,
absolutely not. No, I don't really listen to Cardi B.
Okay, fine.
Not gonna knock it. You know, you like her, you like her, but Future.
Oh, Future.
I was listening to some Future.
He sounds like he's Future. Underwater.
You know what?
He sounds like he's underwater, okay. Mike. Don't be lying.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so is there anything that you're reading right now? Any books you have next to your nightstand or on your bed or something?
One book
like that
I have next to my nightstand is, oh man, I forget the title of it. It's Charlemagne the God.
Oh my God, you're like the second person that's talked to me about him.
The guy is like very, I don't know, I kind of don't compare myself, but like that's my personality is like, you got something, go get it. Do what you got to do.
Is it his Unfiltered? Book where he's like sitting on a chair? What's the name of the book? Is it his only? Is it the one book that he has?
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen the cover of it and actually heard that it's good.
Yes.
So.
You have to.
Is it his biography or like is it a how-to kind of?
It's a biography.
Okay.
Yeah. Just talks about a lot and just pretty much like with this whole like go-getter standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And like just raw, unfiltered, like very, like he's just unapologetically like just him.
That's awesome. I feel like that's how he is on
I feel like
the
everyone
Breakfast Club?
Should be that. Yeah, I absolutely love him on the Breakfast
yes,
Club.
He's really good. He's really good at I don't know how to say it, but he's very provocative, and I feel like it makes it a good show.
Making people, like, get into their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be positive or in a negative way. Like, yeah. he gets it out of you.
He does. He does.
He could bring out the best. He could bring out the worst.
He's definitely a little... Yeah, he definitely does that. That's
kind of an sure. instigator.
Like, a little bit. Like, I was going to say salacious. I don't know if that's the right word.
Kind of like, just... I don't know.
Yeah. An instigator, for sure. Yeah. Do you have... Oh, you work third shift, don't you?
Yes.
I was going to ask you, well, what's your morning routine? What's your routine when you're about to go to work or to get you prepared for the day?
Oh, to get me prepared for the day? Like my night, you mean? Like my morning is my night?
So yes,
like,
sure.
Okay. So like before I go to work.
Yes.
Like what your AM would be like.
Yes. Before you go to work, what's your like, ooh, I'm ready to work. What's your routine like?
Shower, brush your teeth.
You want to do a little face scrub? Your face is nice.
I mean, I moisturize regularly, and I do scrub, yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. The ladies and gentlemen want to hear what you do for your routine. So you face scrub, you moisturize.
Yep. Cocoa butter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I see you. And what's your, like, night routine? Before, basically, you go to bed, like, what do you do to turn down?
Eat, jerk off, and go to sleep. No, I'm completely kidding. Not every night.
Not every night.
No.
Just Tuesdays.
Just, Yeah. This one, I don't have any audio on call. No. To unwind, I kind of... Normally, I go to the gym after work.
Mm-hmm.
I'll eat something light, like a little afterwards. Maybe mm-hmm. watch a little Netflix. Maybe go into PS4, you know. Sometimes I'll, like, go running. Like, before I turn in.
Because
it's, like, morning time. It's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. So, you're kind of, like, there's less people on the road and it's still, like, daylight out.
Absolutely. I can do whatever I want.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's good. What has made you the happiest this week?
What has made me the happiest?
Something made you happy. Or, like, excited or... Come on, Mike. Nothing made you happy, excited. Your booing text you, like, you...
No, my phone's been so dry this week. So, yeah, if you were to ask me last week, like, yeah, maybe, but my phone's been dry this week.
Nobody's... You're not happy about doing this podcast?
I am happy about doing this podcast.
There you go.
I am.
And then what... lastly, I should say, what do you do for self-care? So, self-care is... it's so funny. Every time I ask guys this, they're like, what you mean? Self-care is what you do to take care of yourself. So it can mean so many things. It can mean, like, taking a shower. It could mean, like, oh, I'm going to take a nap. Or it could mean, like, turning off my phone.
Naps are crucial. Oh, my goodness.
Do you, like, light a candle? Do you get to your pedicure once a month?
Nah. I used to get manicures, actually, when I was in the military.
Because mm-hmm.
you shake a lot of hands and, like, people see your hands a lot. I used there to do go. That. I don't do that anymore, though. Things get expensive.
Would you say that going to the gym is self-care?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's very therapeutic.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You just throw, like, your headphones in and just mm-hmm. do what you gotta do.
I feel like you're a yoga type guy. Have you ever done yoga?
No.
Oh.
Never done yoga ever. Not a day in my life.
You should do it. Just saying. Just a suggestion.
I don't think I'm very flexible like that. I see, like, these girls putting their head over.
I'm not flexible.
Those are women, though. I've never seen men on some yoga. I've never seen a movie.
You've never seen a man do yoga?
I've never seen a man doing yoga.
I did yoga in the park in Hartford all summer, and there was definitely guys there. And attractive guys.
Well, yeah, because these...
Men of color.
They're waiting for that downward dog.
Okay. On that note... Talking about you don't do yoga, but you know the names. Disgusting. Oh my God, Mike, thank you so much for being on the show. I feel like we talked about a lot of sensitive things, and I'm really grateful that you opened us up to just something that people don't talk about. A Puerto Rican male getting I don't want to say terminal, because it was not terminal, but getting an illness that, you know, is kind of...
That could possibly take a turn for the worse if gone untreated,
and it's not glamorous.
No.
Like breast cancer. I feel like breast cancer is, like, glamorous. Like, people are like, ooh, I got breast cancer. I'm going to do the breast cancer walk. I'm going to wear pink. I'm going to get a ribbon. Not glamorous, but...
I know what you mean.
Like, famous or...
It's more talked about.
Yes.
It's more, like, relevant mm-hmm. in the community. Like, yeah, that.
Yeah, that. If you guys enjoyed this episode that I recorded with my friend Mike, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. We are currently on iTunes and SoundCloud at Basic Latina Podcast. If you rate and review us, we get more visibility, and we know visibility is essential. Also, the Basic Latina Podcast inbox is open. So please email me your comments, questions, and suggestions at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. We intend to do a listener letter episode later in the season, so please send me your letters, and hopefully a guest and I will be able to answer them on the show. I would like to thank the Pod Squad for making sure that Basic Latina Podcast sounds so good. Editorial oversight is by Gabby Barnes, and music is by Michael Guns. I'll talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.